Our next game is about fake islands like Rhode Island. Let's meet our contestants. First up, Sarah Schnorenberg. You're a lawyer, and in high school, you were the person on your varsity bocce ball team who single-handedly lost the state tournament game.
Yes.
That's awesome. I love, too, that you were like, this is what I want to talk about. I was immediately going, gravitated to it. Can you
Ophira, I'm a lawyer. I have no interesting stories.
Walk us through this day of failure.
So everyone was really excited. We were basically about to win. Do you know how bocce works? It's like you throw your balls at like the small white ball, and if you want to get the closest balls.
That's the whole thing.
That's it. Yep. We had the three closest balls. We were going to get that many points, and that would win the round, and we would go on to the next stage in the tournament. And then I was going last, dead last. No one was after me, and I was like, I'm going to try. And I knocked the white ball closer to all of their balls. And I ruined it for everybody.
Yay! Okay. Well, you know, what'd you learn from that? Nothing. I think nothing.
I don't know, but I got a really good college application out of it.
You got a good college application
out
of it?
Yeah, I wrote all of my essays about it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's the story of the day when you learned not to try.
All right, Sarah, when you ring in, we'll hear this. Your opponent is Jillian Thomas. You're also a lawyer specializing in women's employment rights and once appeared on Good Morning America thinking you were going to be talking about one thing, but ended up talking about something very different. Can you summarize what happened?
Oh, with pleasure. I did a favor for a friend of the family who was a producer, and it was a story about people waiting to get married until later in life.
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain point, Diane Sawyer misread the teleprompter and asked me whether I had seen the statistic play out in my life that there were 8,000 single men for every single woman.
When I moved to New York, this was the sort of myth running around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to tell her I had not seen that to be the case. Anyway, it wrapped up, and I at least hadn't humiliated myself. And then I left, and I was fielding calls from friends, and how'd I do? You looked great. You didn't look nervous. But then one friend asked me, are you aware how they identified you on screen? And I was not aware of how they'd identified me on screen.
In your banner, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I buried the lead. The story was about how the census had done away with the designation single, so you're now either divorced, widowed, or never married. And I was identified on screen as Jillian Thomas, never married. It's on the Jumbotron in Times Square. Yeah.
Jillian, when you ring in, we'll hear this. Remember, Sarah and Jillian, whoever has more points after two games will go to the final round. Your first game is called Island Time, and to help us out, please welcome back our guest expert, the co-founder of Atlas Obscura, Dylan Thuris, everybody.
Hey, good to be back.
So this game is simple. We're going to describe an island. You're going to tell us if it's a real place found in Atlas Obscura or a fake island we made up. But be careful, because if you answer incorrectly, your opponent automatically scores the point. All right, ring a dancer. Here we go. Throughout history, islands have been used as prisons. So is the case with Florida's Alcatraz for Monkeys, which got its start as a jail for misbehaving monkeys at a nearby park. Jillian.
False.
I'm sorry, that is real.
That is terrifying.
It is terrifying. Dylan, how are these monkeys misbehaving? By the way, are not all monkeys misbehaving monkeys?
Yeah, but these are the hardened criminals. Mostly it was, you know, your candy stealing, your car breaking into, kind of a serious crime. Some hand biting, you know, monkey stuff.
Monkey stuff.
Monkey stuff, yeah.
Insider trading, that sort of thing. If you find yourself walking on eggshells in your day-to-day, why not shake things up and walk on some clamshells for a change? There's more than enough on Fadiouth, an island in Senegal made entirely of shells from the ground to the streets to the buildings. Jillian.
Real.
Yeah, a real place.
Mm-hmm. I would call that Foot Injury Island.
You have to wear shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely have to wear
it's
shoes.
It's like sucks to walk around all the time. No barefoot.
So how did this happen, Dylan?
People, over the course of a century, people have been living there, and a big part of the food is mollusks that are caught and shelled. And then the shells are literally incorporated into everything. They're sunk into the sides of houses. The cemetery is built out of shells. The roads are all shells, so they crunch underfoot. You're right, you do need shoes. So, yeah, it's all shells all the time.
Pozzo Island off the coast of Italy served as a sanatorium for women in the 1700s who were diagnosed with female hysteria. After decades of abandonment in 2007, it was turned into a luxury spa and hotel.
Oh, that's...
Sarah.
False.
Yeah, that's fake. Yeah. It's just still a sanatorium for female hysteria. No, that's totally fake. Unusual hotels that you've encountered, Dylan, any good ones?
Yeah, outside of Las Vegas, about 4 hours towards the desert, a town called Tonopah, there's a place called the Clown Motel, which is clown-themed. It has about 700 clowns in the lobby. And the best part about the Clown Motel is that the only thing really next to it is an abandoned miner cemetery. So that's it's the other attraction. So yeah. That's a just delightful place.
Yeah, what an excellent, the pamphlets in their lobbies.
Deer Island in upstate New York is privately owned by the Not-So-Secret Society for Yale Students, Skull and Bones, of which I, a Yale graduate, am not a member. Jillian.
I actually know this. It is, in fact, true.
Yeah? Is it a real place?
How do you know that?
Because I'm an annoying Yale grad, too.
Wait, what is that supposed to mean, Jillian?
I was once invited to spend a weekend there, actually.
And really? Did you go?
I declined. Yeah.
Why?
You know.
Yeah, it's complicated.
He's married now.
All right. I don't know if that means... It all worked out. I guess that's what you're saying. It all worked out.
So, Dylan, is this a secret island? Or is it...
I feel like I should ask you guys. You tell me.
Oh, we can't tell you.
No,
we'll find out what you know.
I know. From what I hear, supposedly this is where the occult rituals of Skull and Bones happen, but in fact it sounds like it's what any island owned by a bunch of frat boys would look like, which is a kind of a dump. So I think maybe you did fine by declining the invitation.
Thank you.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of Jonathan Coulton's song Creepy Doll, and you need more Creepy Doll content in your life, here's an idea. Head over to the Island of Dolls just outside of Mexico City. It's adorned with thousands of deteriorating creepy dolls. Jillian.
True.
Yeah, that's real. That's real.
True. Yeah, no, this is a real island. A guy named Don Julian Santana, he was an eccentric who lived on this island, and he found dolls floating in the trash and washing up on shore. And he just started affixing them to things. He thought that they were these kind of magical protectors. So slowly the island filled with dolls. And now when people visit, they bring their old broken dolls and add them to the collection. So it's an ever growing collection of creepy dolls.
Even creepier. That's right. Whoever did that gut kind of sound.
Now it is a cursed place. Congratulations, weird old man.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Well, that was a great game. Thank you so much, Dylan.
You.
And Jillian is in the lead. Coming up, we'll play a music parody about ill-fated journeys, because sometimes it is a mistake to take the midnight train going anywhere. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.